Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos and Sister Amen. Sister Amen.
Uh-huh.
Did we survive today?
We did. We pressed through.
We're not going to talk about it because we don't want to be grumblers and complainers, but we had a hard day.
Yeah.
Challenging day. We both had some illnesses today, but you know what? We've overcome. I'm feeling better. How are you feeling?
I'm getting there.
You're better than you were to start.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. We got to overcome. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we can overcome all things by our faith in Christ. And so we just want to encourage you today. We hope you're all doing well. We're sitting in a beautiful place right next to a beautiful river. The lights are twinkling on the water. You see it over there, Sister Amen?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah. And today, when we were sitting parked somewhere working online, and I wasn't feeling very good. Not going to go into any details, but a big giant school bus pulled up. And have you ever had these moments, saints, seekers, if you're listening, you got to repent and follow Christ. Don't be a seeker your whole life. Follow Christ, be a saint. Let me know I can help you in that. By the gospel, of course, check it out at don'tperish.com. You ever have these moments where like either like maybe a smell or a view of something or a thought takes you back in your life? You ever have that, Sister Amen?
Reminisce. Oh, yeah. I don't particularly like
it. No, I don't like it either. Today, I had it. We're parked in a beautiful, peaceful place working online, and all of a sudden, there's a big, long, noisy, stinky, smelly school bus parked. They're diesel. They vibrate. They stink.
Yeah.
They smell. They're crowded. It took me back to my youth when I was going to grade school. I went to the pagan public school system, and I hated the bus ride.
Bus ride. Oh, I know.
I lived out in the country, and the bus ride was like almost an hour.
Yep.
I was like the first stop, way out, far out, and then it was, I mean, I'd end up with a headache and sinus from the bouncing and the rumbling. And I don't know. I was sitting there today while I was struggling with the physical trials that had to do with my head and how I was feeling, and that bus over there rumbling and stinking. And I turned to Sister Amen, and I said to her, I said this the other day too, and I said, I hate this world. Not the people.
Yeah.
I hate this world. Because when I see a school bus, I think of young children being indoctrinated, crammed into a system, being taught all of this crazy stuff in public school system now, let alone the bus that's noisy, loud, and stinky. So I was thinking about how much I hate the world. And I wanted to read a verse. Psalm 119:104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So it's okay, saints, to hate the ways of the world that go against the concepts of God. And that's how I feel. When I see what's going on in the world, I just hate it. And I love going out to preach the gospel in it. I love shining the light against it.
Yeah.
I love using my voice, lifting it up to proclaim it and call it out and see if a sheep or a neighbor will hear and come. So think about that. And I have one quick saying about this. I don't really believe you love God's truth until you hate the lie.
Exactly,
all lies.
Yeah.
So think about that. If you don't oppose and hate lies, I'm not so sure you really love truth. Kind of like you don't really value life if you wouldn't stand against like murder, taking of innocent blood. I'm not so sure you value life.
Right.
So something to ponder. So I just wanted to share that I really hate the things of the world, and we are at war spiritually against them.
Yeah, it's like it's so confusing and it's complex.
Yep.
And
you see Satan in it.
Yeah, and like you were saying, you know, to hate every false way, you can't truly know what love is of God until you hate the lie.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't realize when you're brand new what the lies are.
Right.
And you might not hate them immediately as you see them, but the closer you get to the Lord, the further away you get from the world, the more you see the lie, the more you hate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
As you keep pressing on, you'll understand what that means.
Amen. So and we actually, so we have to put up with a little bit more because we live in the world. Maybe you just live somewhere where you're kind of set apart and you got a nice little setting, and then you go to a store, you go to town, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's where God has you.
Yep.
We're out here living in the world, so I see the world every day. I see the wickedness. I see the people scamming for money. I see the people doing crimes. I see the police arresting people. I see the wickedness of the culture in general. So we see it every single day. And so it really makes me, and it's good for me, because as a street preacher, it makes me abhor the sin of the world, and then I can go forth and preach boldly against it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love
and
that.
I think that's another reason about why I like van life. We don't just step into the world to go preach like your average street preacher. We live in the world.
We have to step out of
We have to step out of our little world here and go into it. Yeah, we have to step out of the world.
Yeah, we have to step out of the world for a
You're right. We got to go find a private campground somewhere where nobody is to get out of the world. We live in it. We're parked in parking lots, and we like that.
Yeah, even in a peaceful park, there's enough of the world that just keeps going around. But it's like the lesser of the worldliness.
And Hebrews 4:12, you got to keep your sword sharp when you're out here because we're in a spiritual battle, as I was telling a brother today. Yeah. Make sure you have your sword with you. Make sure it's on your hands, in your hands and on your mind. And make sure it's sharp because we have to use it out here doing battle.
Amen,
And speaking of the world, I had another thought real quick. Been looking up a lot of events to try to get to preach and do different things. And I'm amazed, always amazed, at all the different ways Satan and his culture, there's God's kingdom in us, then Satan's culture, us kingdom is this culture, how he has devised all these things to sweep you away. Sports fests, music fests, food, plays, religious events, concerts, patriotism, fashion shows, wedding extravaganzas, boating, hunting, fishing. I mean, you name it. Satan and this culture has devised it to deceive you and distract you from that which is eternal. Right. They're all corruptible. Mm-hmm. Even the false religious Christianity, I tell them, Jesus is coming to destroy your denomination.
Oh, yeah, I see that
And your pagan holidays.
Yep.
1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So that goes back to why we hate the things of the world.
Right.
And we love the people. We go forth to preach against
Praise
it.
Praise God. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. A light in a dark place.
Amen. Amen. What is on your mind today, Sister Amen, that you would like to share?
Well, I was thinking about this. We're talking about hate in the world. One of the things in there that I hate about it, because I was one, didn't really realize it at the time because I was that was me before Christ, is feminism.
Feminism. Brother and I just did a study on that.
Yeah, I was just going to say they were doing a study on it, and it's something I want to go through and compile a lot of the feminists. I don't think I've done this before. I have to go look and see. But
I think you've done some, but maybe not like a whole.
Yeah, teacher. I want to take some time and gather them together and at some point in time do a audio or a post or something on the feminists that were in the Bible and what they did, and just kind of go through them and make sure that we don't do them ourselves. And I was just going to read a couple verses out of the very many that there are as a warning for us of what we don't want to do. Isaiah 3:12, this one is a big one. We see this all over, and you just talked about it, you know.
Yep.
Children in sports.
Oh, yeah.
And then the
feminists. Leading the families around,
As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee, and it's talking about the children and the women, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths.
Yep.
And so we see that, you know, go to the grocery store and you see the children whining and crying, and mommy and daddy are like pampering them and standing there asking them, which one do you want? And what kind do you want of this? And then the women telling the men what to do, you know, and being like real short and snippy with them. And I mean, I see that all the time in the stores. And then Isaiah 3:16, this is a pretty big one in the chapter. And I actually think I did a study on this one. Now that I'm talking about this, one of these days I'm going to look into it. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. And I could be here longer reading a lot more of it.
Yeah.
It's talking about Israel, but
it's an archetype down the road.
It is, yeah, but we see that going on today. He's using what's really was going on with the feminism of the woman.
Oh, yeah.
And how wicked it is today, women using feminism or femininity to be feminist. They're enhancing their femininity by exposing it and painting it up. And
going against exactly what God said not to do.
Exactly, yeah. So they're stepping outside of the bounds, the authority, and the rule, the word of God.
Yep.
And so, yeah, feminism. Anyway, I'm going to be working on that.
That'll be awesome.
Time permitting, Lord willing, I'm not putting a time limit on things anymore because he always has lots of work to do.
Yeah, we'll get it done when you get it done. As I was telling brother when we were doing our study, Sister Amen, is this true? Not a day goes by that we don't go out witnessing that we don't run into feminism in some sort, way, or fashion.
Well, all we have to do is... in order to do that, if we shut our eyes, we wouldn't see it.
Yeah.
Because it's either in front of us, uncovered heads, unbiblical dress.
It's either in how they present their bodies or often, and almost every time, it's how they present themselves too. They're rebuking a man. They're talking all over the things of God. It's just, and the men are feminized too. that men will come up to me and say, oh, I got a great church. Really, what is it? Oh, yeah, the such and such a church. And, oh, yeah, our Pastor Gloria. And I go, Pastor Gloria? They go, yeah, she's a great woman of God. And I go, yeah, okay, that's not what the Bible says.
Well, how about this one? You were talking to a man at the so-called Christian Music Fest the past week.
The Sin on a Hill Goat Farm?
Sin on a Hill, yeah, that one. And there was a man talking. His wife had walked down the road or walked down the walkway or whatever, and she was a little ways away, and you were talking about feminism when he looked up and his wife was waving him on. That was perfect timing.
That is so funny. Not funny. Yeah. Funny in a ironic, sad way. You're right. I'm telling the man, he was a nice man. He wasn't a mocker.
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you here? And he goes, yeah. He goes, they're selling trinketry. They're selling Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I said, yeah. And I started telling him. He goes, what else? Tell me, what else is wrong with this place? And I said, look at my wife's sign. I said, feminism. And the sister Amma's right. Right as I said feminism, I looked down the sidewalk and his wife is standing there with one hand on her hip and her other hand going in a circle like, come on, George, we got to get going. And I said, there's feminism right there, sir, with your wife. And he looks at me, he goes, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, a lot of men, you know, I'll give them this. There are some of them, the wife is like, picking on him to try to get him to go.
And they put their hand up in
like,
her face.
No, I got this. Yeah, and he puts his hand up like.
They try.
Back off.
They try.
You know, so I'll give them that. Hopefully they listen to what you're saying when you tell them.
Yes, I'll look forward to that. Yeah. That teaching for the sisters that you're going to do. That would be great. Sister Amin, are you ready?
For what?
Yesterday we talked about husbands and wives liking and not liking things about each other. I'm bringing it back up.
Oh, come on. I didn't know we were going to do that this quick.
I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So you want to go first? You want me to go first? I'm going to let you go first.
What are we doing?
You're going to tell people something you like about me and something you don't like about me.
Okay.
And we're setting this up for, we're going to be doing, I don't know if it's going to be a whole teaching or we're going to be doing bits and pieces of just like dealing with each other in marriage and how to have a better marriage, how to have a godly marriage. So this is just kind of like a little brush into it to say,
okay.
Ready? This is why I want to do this. It's okay to love things about your partner and then go, there's some things that I don't really like. And then to see the difference and maybe understand that and work through them. So we're just trying to be real here as we set the table for maybe in the future talking about some husband and wife things.
I think that would be really good because, you know, you and I have learned a lot over
years,
much.
Oh, yeah.
And most of it came in the years later, way later.
Yeah.
You know, the past handful of years that we've matured.
Let's just be honest. Before we were Christians, we warred against each other, not physically, but we warred against each other about who we were. We had a lot of issues.
Oh, yeah.
And then we became Christians and we didn't war against each other anymore. Yeah, but we had issues because we were still new. We were new in the Lord and we were trying to get to know, hey, she's a new person. I'm a new man. How do we do these things? And so we thought it'd be good to talk about these things. So so you can share, and I'm going to share too. You can share something that you like about me and something you don't like about me. And I'm going to work on what you don't like about me. And I'm going to do what you like about me even more.
Okay,
there's a clue, guys. The stuff she likes, do more. The stuff she doesn't like, don't do it.
Yeah, okay. Sisters too.
All right.
So the like is easy.
The like is easy?
Oh, yeah. This is like super easy. The first thing that comes to my mind is I don't like it. I love that you're a godly, holy man serving the Lord. You're bold. You're not ashamed. You're not timid. You're not a coward. And you just keep going steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You don't grow, well, sometimes you grow weary, but not to the point of fainting.
Yeah.
So
I do get weary out here at times. There's times I do get weary.
Can
I take that?
That?
Can I take what you said about me? And can I say, I really appreciate that, but I got to take all of that and I got to give it to my Savior because that wasn't me before him, was it?
No. Oh, no.
Yeah, so he gets all the glory for that, and I praise him for that. I know you praise him for that, so my Savior and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Right.
He
and
gets all the glory for it.
I know that's not all by you, but you did have to do a lot of work.
Yeah, I did. I had a lot of flesh killing
point.
To do, and I still do.
Yeah.
But fortunately, as I told my brothers, I always tell brothers, the flesh man starts out as a wolf, and you gotta starve him down till he's a little chihuahua, which means when a wolf attacks you, that'd be pretty fearsome, hard to defend against a wolf. If a little chihuahua attacked you, you just kind of kick him in the head and he goes flying away. Fortunately, I've got my flesh man down to that chihuahua. He was a wolf. He used to chew me up. I actually have a teaching on that at the teaching blog. I think it would bless you. Check out my article, A Wolf to a Chihuahua. It's on the teaching blog. But so that was awesome. Thank you. My Savior gets all the glory. What about what you don't like about me?
Well, I got a simple, easy one that comes to mind.
And I got real thick skin. I'm a street preacher. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
It doesn't happen often,
yeah.
But you were really really kind about it when I asked you about it.
What's that?
A couple times. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, sisters.
I'm nervous. I'm nervous here.
It's
because I don't. We don't know these ahead of time.
No, you know what? It's really not a big deal either. It's like because we're in the van life, I don't have hot, soapy, running water or anything, and washing dishes, so I kind of have to do things differently.
Yep.
And I didn't really care for when you would stack your dishes on top of each other.
I told you it was a dishes thing yesterday. Well, I knew it. I'm weak. I'm weak on dishes.
Oh, come on.
I'm weak in my dishes area. Sister Amon does the dishes 99.999% of the time. Sometimes when she's not...
good.
Yeah, sometimes when she's not feeling good, I'll grab them and try to help, and I don't do it good.
You do it just fine.
I'm trying. I'll do better.
You do it just fine. It's just because, you know, the stuff on the
food
plate
stuck
gets
all
on
over
the bottom of the other things. It just makes more work, but you do really good about that now. So I guess that's
I'm going to work on that one.
Yeah, so now
I'm going to buy paper plates for everything. No, I'm just kidding. All right, is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right, here
this
we go. Ready?
Weird. You know, I got to say, it's nice when I can give you the something good thing or
okay.
something.
You want, I'm going to give thing. You, I'm going to flip-flop it. I'm going to give you the bad one first or the one thing that I don't like. Or it's not one thing. That there's, you know, multiple things like this that we would say that about each other that we either differ on, nothing doctrinal. Praise God, Sister Emma and I agree on doctrine 100%.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's some things like dishes that we wouldn't do the same way. And I don't even disagree. It's that I don't do it that
and
way.
I
but
got
I'm,
something to say before you say it.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
All right, bring it on. Ready? I'm telling you, saints, this, it's not that I don't like it, but Sister Amon really limits my ability in the van to take dominion at times.
Uh-oh.
And you know why? She always tells me, please don't kill flies on my pillow or on the bed. Because I'm like the fly killer in the van, and I'm hunting every one of them. I can't hunt anymore. I used to hunt deer and used to hunt bears. I used to hunt things
you're
to eat.
Fly hunter.
We don't hunt anymore, so now I fly hunt. And, man, when I see them, I want dominion. I don't care if they're on the pillow, maybe not her nose. But I got my swatter ready, and so Sister Amon says, can you be careful about not swatting the flies on the bed? And so I'm trying to swoosh them away. But if you know about flies, you get the fly swatter, you swoosh them away, and they disappear. You can't find them.
Oh, I know. They're good.
So
it's like
that would be the one thing I could think of in the van that she tells me, don't kill him on my pillow.
On my pillow.
It is kind of gross to kill. I never kill him on the pillow, but I do kill him on the bed sometimes when she's not looking.
Well, that's all right. You know what? The van life is kind
of... All right. So that would be the one thing that she's got to work on.
Okay.
Letting me take dominion over flies. She lets me, but she just doesn't like it. I would say the one thing about Sister Amon, I mean, there's so many things that I praise God for, but I would say the one thing about Sister Amon that I respect, value, and love so much is her heart for the Lord and His truth. No matter what it's going to cost us, no matter what we have to do, no matter where I take her, no matter what I say, I think we got to do this, Sister Amon is ready to go and do it, and it's all because, not because she's honoring me first, she does honor me, but it's all because of her love for her Lord and Savior, and that's just such a rare thing. I see it. I see that in a few saints around the world. And I know some lady saints around the world that have that heart and they're precious as rubies. My wife is one of them, but it is so rare when you look around at the churchianity places and you look at the world. So Sister Amon, that's what I really respect about you, what the Lord has given you for your love and respect and desire for His word and His truth. And Jesus said, by your fruit, they shall know Him, and your fruit's abounding.
Well,
I just wanted to say that.
All the glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to give that all to Him because I wasn't like this before.
Amen. And I want to give a verse to you men. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the body, the ecclesia, and gave Himself for it. So that's our charge, men. We got to love our wives. You're not going to like every little thing. That's why we're doing this. You're going to have some differences. It shouldn't be doctrinal. You got to get to the bottom of those. But love overcomes all those other little piddly things, I call it. And you respect and you honor each other and you rise above and overcome all that.
Right, amen.
Anything else, Sister Amon, about that? Anything else in general? I think you have something else you want to share.
Oh, on any topic?
Yeah, any topic. And we'll be doing more on marriage as we go. If you got any questions or anything you want to email in, things to talk about, I think it's good. Because there's a lot of really bad Christian marriage advice out there. And we'd like to give some rock solid, doctrinally sound stuff.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, what you got to share?
Well,
I gotta go kill a fly on the bed. No, I'm kidding.
Hey.
There is some flies in here. I'm watching them. I'll wait till they're not on the bed.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I was just thinking about what happened today. Brother Tupo said we were fighting through illnesses, and I seem to have ongoing ones that the Lord has given me a lot of grace to keep pushing through, and I see the power of God being able to do everything we do out here through some of these things.
Keep going and not fall back.
Right, right. And so here today we're in a park, and I went to the restroom to get some water. This is about communication. And so I told Brother Tupos, he was working on some notes. I said, hey, I'm going to go over there. I'll be right back.
You should set the table right. I'm sitting on a picnic table further away from the van.
Oh, yeah.
She said, I'm going to go do that in the bathroom. So I go sit at the picnic table.
Yeah, so I go take care of it, and I come back, and I'm not feeling well again. And so I came back. He didn't see me because his back was to the the van. And I didn't say anything. And I just came in, and I laid on the bed, and I sent him a text. And I said, I'm laying down in here.
I was like...
Yeah, and here, let me say this, though. There's a reason why he did what he did, because the illnesses that I have caused me to pass out before.
Dizzy, get dizzy.
In bathrooms and stuff, and throughout the past and stuff.
Yeah, so picture this, Saints. I'm sitting at a picnic table working online doing ministry. I don't have my shoes on. I'm on my bare feet. It felt good on the cold grass.
Oh, yeah.
And I get a text from my wife that says, I'm laying down in the bathroom.
No, I said I'm laying down in here.
No, I know, but in my mind, see?
Oh, yeah.
That's the communication.
Yeah.
She's in the bathroom washing her laundry. She's laying down. You were washing something out or whatever.
Yeah.
You're laying down, and I ran and got my shoes.
Yeah, I didn't even know it. I thought I heard something over here. And the next thing you know, he comes back. He's like, oh, you're in here. And I said, yeah, I text you. And then it hit me. And you know what, sisters? I felt so bad because I didn't say bathroom, didn't connect at all. If I would have put one word, van.
And I didn't tell you. I go walking up there. I'm standing by the woman's bathroom door going, you okay in there? And a guy comes walking out looking at me like, and I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah. And you know, so what it made me think about is... Matthew 4:4, it says, but he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we know how important that is, to live by every word out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Well, if we want people to understand what we're saying, we have to be clear in it. Obviously, I wasn't putting all this together and thinking clear.
Right.
But look at the miscommunication that happened just because I left one word off.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it can expound into bigger, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People could get frustrated, take something wrong. It could, like, explode.
We are working through some issues right now, as I told you yesterday, with some saints we used to be united to. And we're working through, and a lot of it is about communication, words, how things were said. Some of it was said wrongly. Some of it was interpreted wrong, all that kind of stuff. So very important to have clear communication.
Right. So I learned my lesson on that, to try to do better. And you know,
it wasn't your fault. It was just I didn't think she made it back that quick. It makes me think of, is it the verse, is it 1 Corinthians 14 where it talks about God is not the author of confusion?
Right.
Yeah. And so make sure our words are clear, concise, in how we communicate with people.
And that actually, communication is a big one in marriages. We'll have to go through some of those.
I was just going to say to you, I think that if we went through some, what we would call, the usual pitfalls or the common pitfalls in marriage, I think that that would be a good thing for us to go through.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I think that would help people. So, yeah.
Oh, so, I think so.
Praise God, everything was okay. Sister Amon was not laying on the bathroom floor in the park, and everything was good.
You know what? I thanked him for going to check on me so quick. And later on, I said, you know, I feel so bad about that because my brain isn't thinking so sharp, but that's okay.
But you know what I say? If that's the worst thing we got going between us, we're doing pretty good.
Right. At least you didn't get mad at me.
No, can't do that. That would be getting in the flesh.
That would be. Yeah,
I just kicked that chihuahua in the head and he's gone.
Yeah,
great job. Anything else, Sister Amon, as we close out here? I think you had a scripture verse to share.
Yeah, you know what? I do. It's just some words of wisdom and encouragement.
Wisdom and encouragement, that's always a good thing.
James 1:5-8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven in the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so we know if we're lacking wisdom, and that could be in some of these marriage things or relationship things.
You have not because you ask not.
Right. So, sisters, if you're lacking wisdom, go to the Lord and know that he will give it to you. Because if you're timid about it and you're kind of questioning and not sure if you're going to get the wisdom from it, you're kind of like not trusting him and you're unstable.
That's true. And remember, we're in a covenant And God has always done his part and is doing his part. He asks us to do our part. And so I was telling a brother, God gives us all the tools we need to do everything. And then he says, here's the tools, go do it. He doesn't do it for us. So he gives us wisdom. And then guess what we have to do, saints? We got to go use it. If we don't use it, it's a useless tool. We become an unprofitable servant.
Right. And as you start walking forward with the wisdom he gives you, he's just going to keep giving you more.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Awesome. Good word there. Good word, Sister Amin. So that's all we have for you today. I want to share this verse with you. This was on my heart today. One of my favorite verses. Matthew 6, 33, 34. Ooh. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. I like that. Seek ye first. Words are matter. Remember, we just said words matter. Look at how God communicates with us. Seek ye first. It doesn't say seek the kingdom of God. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then it says, and his righteousness. So first, seek the kingdom and his righteousness. See how important words are. All these things shall be added unto you. And then 34. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So our Lord's telling us to not be anxious, not be looking forward. Oh, we can plan. We definitely have to do that. You got to set your alarm clock if you have to go to work, man. I get it. Yeah. But not being anxious, not being worried, trusting in the Lord for everything in the future. So I just wanted to share that with you and encourage you all to be seeking the kingdom and his righteousness and seek it first. And what that means is, you know, 10-minute devotionals in the morning are meaningless if you're not seeking God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength all throughout the day. We hear people say it all the time. I read the Bible for 15 minutes every morning. And it's like, well, that's a good start. But God actually wants your morning, he wants your afternoon, he wants your evening, he wants all of it, and not just throw him a little spattering. And that's what the Sunday church system does. They set it up so you throw a spattering at God for an hour and a half on Sunday when he wants your entire being.
Hey, you just happened to mention devotionals.
Yeah.
I know you said we were wrapping it up, but maybe you could explain devotionals, because I know a lot of women who like to read a devotional, but they're usually written by somebody who's unbiblical. And it's
tell you what
like
we do
doing the work.
When we close this out, I'm making a note for tomorrow.
Oh, that would be great.
For tomorrow,
yeah,
I'm going to do a little mindset on devotionals and the danger of them. Who knows if there's enough there, and there probably would be. I might even do a whole teaching on it.
Yeah,
I'll do a teaching on
awesome.
Devotionals. Yeah, because again, it's like you just read it. Jesus said we live by every word out of the mouth of God, and then people reduce it down to kind of read these 20 words today and I'll just go with that.
And then they read what's expounded more.
Yeah,
and
it's
generally by somebody else's words.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So I'll make a note for devotionals, and that'll bring us something for maybe a teaching for either tomorrow or whenever I get to it.
Yeah, nice.
That sounds good. All right, saints.
Praise God.
Seek the kingdom of God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're here to help you. Check out the gospel at don'tperish.com. Check out all of our resources. And what we always like to say, Godspeed. And it's to somebody special. You know who that is, Sister Amin? It's the Ecclesia of the Lord.
I love that. Called out, set apart, holy saints.
Amen.
I love you, sisters.
Go out and strive for the kingdom. We're here for you. God be praised.